Welcome to episode 73 of Speaking of Mysteries. I'm Nancy Clare, and our guest for the show is J.S. Law, whose debut crime fiction novel, Tenacity, has just been published in North America. The novel takes its name from the submarine Tenacity, where the protagonist, Danielle Dan Lewis, a lieutenant in the Royal Navy's investigative unit, goes where no woman has gone before, on board, at sea, while she looks into a suspicious death. The author, James Law, is a former senior nuclear engineer in the Royal Navy Submarine Service, and he is able to conjure this claustrophobic sensation of a locked room mystery and then some of a submarine under hundreds of feet of water. Here's James Law. Hi, this is Nancy Clare. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. Today's guest is J.S. Law, whose first novel, Tenacity, has just been released from Henry Holt and Company. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And can I call you James or Jim or?
James, yeah, James is fine, please.
Okay, thank you. Tenacity is your first published novel, and according to the press material, your literary tastes are wide-ranging. But what drew you to crime fiction as opposed to science fiction? I mean, after all, you are a former senior nuclear engineer in the Royal Navy Submarine Service, or a political thriller like Hunt for Red October.
Do you know, you're right. I've tried loads of different things. And I think when I started writing, I knew that I wanted to write, and that was a given for me. But then it took me ages to realise what I wanted to write. And so I wrote, like, you know, I wrote a horror, which was really awful. You know, and I wrote some, like, fantasy, you know, some, like, epic fantasy Lord of the Rings type stuff, you know, because I enjoyed writing, but it just wasn't good enough. And I think when I realised a couple of years ago that I wanted to be a published author and I wanted to make this, you know, a career as opposed to just something I did for fun, I sort of had to look and think, like, you know, what am I doing? What do I like doing? And I was actually sitting looking at my bookshelves, and the answer was right there, you know, because I've got you know James Patterson, Lee Child, Val McDermid, Mo Hayder, Mark Billingham, Peter James, all over my bookshelves. And I thought, you know, the answer to what I really want to write, certainly in the beginning, you know, it was pretty clear to me. That said, you know, as much as I love the Danielle Lewis series, and that's certainly my focus at the moment, but I don't think that's going to be all I want to do. You know, there's a number of other projects I want to work on as soon as I'm able to, including some big political thrillers, you know, sort of looking into that Clancy, Robert Ludlum type space. And, you know, actually, I've been working on some other stuff as well for several years, some sort of young adult, sort of not so much sci-fi, but young adult fantasy stuff. So, you know, if I was to be able to get the time, I would certainly like to write those things. But for me at first, I think I had to realise that the crime thriller was where I read. It was the stuff that I spend most of my time immersed in. So it made sense for me to be the first thing I went to market with.
Well, you anticipated my next question, which was who's writing influenced you. You mentioned Willie McIlvaney, Laidlaw series, which is, according to Val McDermid, the sort of the birth of the modern Scottish noir novel. And so you mentioned Lee Child and Val McDermid and Peter James and Mo Hayder, all many of my favorite writers.
Yeah, fantastic authors, yeah. And Willie McIlvaney, you know, his books, they are so good, and I would never read McIlvaney while I was writing, because there's nothing brings home how poor your prose is when you're reading someone like that who's a real master. But I think for McIlvaney, you know, I don't think I really understood what people meant when they talked about a sense of place until I read the Laidlaw novels, and you suddenly realise that the Glasgow, you know, the city becomes a character in the novel. And I know people say you can pick stories up and you can move them anywhere, you know. And I think in many ways that's true, you know, the essential plot lines. But when you look at, you know, McIlvaney's Laidlaw, you know, I don't know that story would be so different anywhere else, because Glasgow is such a character in his books. And I think that's one thing I always sort of chalk down to Mr. McIlvaney is obviously teaching exactly what that sense of place really means.
Well, and I think that what you just said about a story can be taken and placed anywhere,
I have a feeling that submarine might be the exception to that rule. A story in a submarine is going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be unique. But I mean, it could be an American submarine, I guess. But yeah, it's probably
But it's still a tube under the water.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about Tenacity, which is the name of your novel. And it's not just the name of the submarine on which Dan Lewis, your main character, your protagonist, is investigating a death. It's also one of her character traits. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about Dan.
Yeah, you know, so Dan Lewis, I think she came to me I was doing a short story competition, and it was one of these ones, you know, where they give you like, I can't remember if they gave you a title or certainly a theme. Certainly it was a theme. And I seem to recall, and I may be wrong on this, but it was something like, you know, a woman in a man's world. And it was a short story, I think 1,500 words, maybe 2,000 words. And anyway, I sort of came up with this idea of a female investigator in the armed forces, which is, you know, it's getting much better in terms of the diversity, but it's still, you know, very much a male-dominated environment. I wrote Dan, and then I sort of parked her. I did the competition, I didn't win, and I parked her for a long time. And then as I was going through this sort of route to publication, I was speaking to an agent once, and I'd written a book, my book previous to Tenacity, which isn't published. And he said to me, he said, this is really, really good. He said, complete this sentence, James Law, the next big name in, you know, what is this book? And I didn't really know what it was. You know, it was a sort of, you know, thriller come some sort of weird genre. And so I decided I wanted to go into genre, and I decided the next book I was going to write, I'd be able to finish that sentence. You know, James Law, the next big name in crime thrillers, you know, or thrillers. But when I did it and I sat down, I thought, how do I make my book different? So obviously I've got the naval setting, you know, the submarines and the wider military, and I get that. But also I sort of thought about what I like to read, and I like to read about characters that I would like, you know, ballsy characters who, you know, are not perfect, but they know their own mind. I think I don't want to go into a rant and get my soapbox out, but sometimes I get frustrated.
Oh, please, get your soapbox out. Get your soapbox out.
Yeah, I get frustrated with, you know, when you have a female character and she's a strong female character, but she's strong for what I think are the wrong reasons. So, you know, like Josh Rieldon gets a lot of praise for Buffy. And, you know, Buffy was a great series. But when I look at Buffy, and I get it, I get that she was the cheerleader, etc. But all of Buffy's strength, as far as I can remember, none of it's drawn from being a woman. It's drawn from being supernatural or having this power, you know. And so when I looked at female characters in TV and in books, you know, it's almost like they have to apologise for being strong. Like, if they're very intelligent, they have to be kooky. And I wanted to create a character. You know, Dan is very, very intelligent, and she's normally the smartest person in the room. But she's intelligent because she works hard and she's interested in what she does. You know, she doesn't have any superpower. You know, she's physically very small. So when she gets into a physical confrontation, she's not a ninja. You know, she only has what she's got to play with. And she has to use her, you know, her tenacity and her desire to get through situations. And I think I really wanted to create a female character that I could read and enjoy reading, because she's sort of, you know, something that resonated with certainly the women that I see around me. And so that's kind of why I went for the Dan character, you know, why I made her like I did. And when I put her in that challenging situation, you know, the submarine for me was like the ultimate locked room. You know, I love the old Agatha Christie novels, right? I mean, everyone mm-hmm. loves that sort of stuff, where you go up to the mansion and they get snowed in, you know, and they're stuck in there and you have that locked room, you know the killer's in there sort of thing. And so when I sort of thought about this female character that I really liked, and I thought, wow, if I put her in here and they shut that hatch, you know, 200 metres of water above the hatch, and I thought that's the ultimate locked room environment. But this woman, my character Dan, she becomes the ultimate outsider in the ultimate locked room environment. And that was really how Tenacity came about. That was my thought processes.
I found Dan admirable for many of the reasons that you've just described, but not exactly likable. And I think she might approve of that.
Yeah, I think she would. You know, Dan would, you know, Dan, she's complicated, as you know, aren't we all? But, you know, she's complicated. I don't think she tries to be likable, you know, and And I think people are like that. I think when you reach a certain point of sort of happiness and confidence within yourself, you can, it sounds really awful, but you can more or less take friendship. You know, once you're confident in yourself, you think, I don't care if you like me or not. You know, I'm doing what I believe to be the right thing here. And, you know, I think Dan sometimes could have better social skills. She could go about things in a different way. But, you know, that's her way. So, yeah, some people say they don't like her. And I say, you know, I've never met anyone who said they don't respect her. And I think
I didn't say I didn't like her. I just...
Yeah, definitely.
But, like...
Yeah, she could work hard on her social skills, couldn't she?
But, like, the one person that she connected to in the story is Felicity, who is a psychologist who's investigating a companion crime. I don't want to introduce any spoilers.
Yeah.
And they click, I think, for the reasons that you described in when you were answering the previous question, that they're both women who are not necessarily superpowers, but in touch with the differences between the gender and at genders, but at the same time, just sort of going, yeah, you know, that this is just who we are. But that's what I meant. She's not likable. She doesn't, like some people might say, women always want to make friends. Dan is really not interested in that.
No, she's not. And you know what? You're right about Felicity as well. They did click, and I really love Felicity as a character, you know. And she came about sort of in quite an odd way because she kind of crept into the novel. I wasn't even aware of her at first because she had a really bit part role at first. And as the drafts went on, her role improved. And we'll certainly see more of her in module two, in book two. But yeah, you're right. You know, Felicity, again, they're very different, but they're very the same. You know, Felicity is, you know, is whereas Dan's physically quite capable, you know, she's fit and she runs and stuff. Felicity doesn't. She's, you know, she's tall and she's quite rangy. You know, and she would tell you she's the last person picked for sports at school and that. But, you know, she's a very, very, very smart, very experienced woman who's very, very comfortable in her own body and her own position. And so I think the fact that neither of them particularly care whether you like them or not has made them click. I do think that Felicity is probably more likable than Dan. You know, Felicity's much more aware.
Well, she's a psychologist.
Yeah, she's much more aware of how she interacts with people, and she's much friendlier outwardly than Dan. But those two, they become good friends, and I think that's a that's a positive thing because I think Dan will gain a lot from being friends with Felicity.
The next question is about suspending disbelief, and that yours specifically. You served on a submarine in the Royal Navy where you were. And so when you were constructing the story, was it difficult to, A, imagine a woman on board, and B, cast some of the ship's company as not just men categorically opposed to women serving on submarines, but really bad, evil people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll take them in order, but for me, the sort of I never served on board submarines with other female sailors, but I did serve on ships with female sailors because I was on ships for a while before I moved to submarines. So I have served with females at sea, and so I sort of, I guess I drew on that. But you know, for me, I tried to sort of really imagine Dan going in there and sort of shaking things up, you know, and sort of not being prepared because submarines are all about. You know, they're all about routine and they're all about tradition and there's things we do and it's just the way we do them, you know, and that's just the way they've always been done. And I really wanted her to go on there and shake things up. So for me, I guess I had to sort of work hard on that. But I think because I'd so recently been on submarines and so for so long, the environment was still fairly fresh to me. So I found writing the environment fairly easy. Crew-wise, you know, it's a crime thriller. You know, I laugh about this with my friends. We have good chats about this, but you know, pretty much all my friends are submariners. You know, and they're great people. And actually, there's not really a, you know, same with the US submariners. You know, I know a load of guys who work in the Navy in America, and you know, they're a great bunch of really welcoming people. And so we find it quite amusing to sort of see this dark. You know, the worst in these people brought out in this one dark setting. But actually, you know, I kind of enjoyed that because I think I sort of spoke to other authors about this as well. It's nice to write a villain. You know, writing villains is always it's always a fun.
They're the
thing
most
to do.
Fun.
Yeah, and so I probably, you know, maybe writing, you know, quite a lot of villains in this piece because there was this sort of understand this brotherhood, and obviously it had from the top, you know, they had sort of top cover to be this way. And I won't do any spoilers, but, you know, they were allowed to be that way. So I sort of let them run ragged, a bit Lord of the Flies, I guess. But, yeah, so there was that suspension of disbelief there, because I think actually, you know, females are on submarines in the UK now. And I think in the States, I'd have to check to be sure. I think that now that when people go on there, I think they'll be supported. Once they've earned their dolphins, you know, I think they will be part of the team. I really don't think there'll be a huge amount of problems associated with it, if I'm really honest.
You touched on something that actually anticipated one of my questions. And a submarine is a closed environment, and there are pretty much no secrets on board. I mean, I think that that is true. But that sort of telegraphy, that sort of feeling of seems to extend beyond to the entire service. So even though the submarine is a discrete unit, it seems that there's a network within the Royal Navy, and I hadn't even thought of this, but even to the U.S. Navy, let's say, that you know a lot of people and they know a lot of people. It is a world unto itself. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I really think it is. You know, there's a network of all submariners. There's a number of Facebook pages where, you know, they are only for former submariners from various countries. You know, I mean, even just Sunday just gone, the submariners have their own Remembrance Day service at the Embankment in London. You know, so there is a real network. It's a real, I hate to call it a brotherhood, because it was a brotherhood for a long time, but clearly it's not now because we have women on submarines. So it's a real family. You know, once you've earned your dolphins, I mean, I've been all sorts of places around the world, and you get talking, you mention a submariner, all of a sudden, you know, you meet someone else who's a submariner, and before you know it, boom, you know, you've got that in common. You've got that sort of that goal that you've achieved. And I was in Jamaica a little while ago on holiday, and I met a guy from North Carolina, and we were chatting, and he was an ex-US Navy submariner. And, you know, and I kind of just, before he even said it, I just knew, because we were chatting, and it was just so obvious that we had just had core principles in common, you know. And I think once you've been through that and you've trained and you've achieved it, I think you always have that kind of some, that pride in what you've done. So, yeah, it is a big network.
My next question then is, what is the Submariner community, what do they think of Tenacity, the book?
Right, so, yeah, no, this was my biggest worry. More than anything else, when you put a book out, you know, you're always aware that, you know, not everyone's going to like your book. That's a cold, hard fact. And, you know, I was really worried about how it'd be received within the community. And actually, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, they like it. You know, it's something about submarines that they can read. And I've had people sort of email me and say, oh, you know, I read this. It really reminded me of when we shipped out or whatever. You know, it's been a really, really positive response. I haven't had much of a response from the U.S. Navy community yet, because obviously it doesn't come out over there until...
Right, the book, 3rd. I think, comes out on... it comes out tomorrow. So happy Pub Day.
Oh yeah, it does. That's right. Yeah, it's tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. So, but you know, but I'm fairly confident, and not confident, but I'm fairly happy, because the response from the British submariners has been positive, and the community tends to. I think it's a really supportive community, and we like to see other submariners do well, and so, you know, I would be surprised if anyone took real umbrage at it. You know, it's something that we like to do. So, but no, it's been very positive in the UK. So hopefully the States will like it too.
So. You mentioned this, and you're on you're obviously working on your next Dan Lewis novel. Is it finished? Are you about to send to the publisher, or where are you?
So, they've seen. I've done the first draft, or I've seen the first draft, and we've had a chat about it, and we're going to make some. We're going to make some changes and do some editing of it. So. I think I can't remember what my deadline is now, but we should get the first lot of structural edits done and sort of have something in January next year. But we know what it's about. We know what it's called. We know what the storyline is. So I think we're pretty happy. We're in a good place at the moment.
Do you see this as a continuing series, or do you have a finite number of Dan Lewis books in mind?
Oh, no, I see this as a series. Dan, for me, was always a series character. You know, for me, this would be book two. I don't know how many there will be, but you know, but I would like to carry Dan on you know, and for as long as I think we've got something to say and we've got interesting stories to tell and people are interested in finding out more about her. So I definitely would like Dan to be a long-term series character.
And this is always my, well, not always, but usually my last question. Have you had any interest from, you know, production to turn Dan into a TV series character or a big screen character?
I have indeed. I don't know how far we are along with that at the moment. But yes, we've agreed options, and hopefully we'll be looking to bring Dan to the TV scene as a television series character. Fingers crossed.
That sounds fantastic. Who wouldn't want to see a woman on a submarine? I think it would make a great series. I thought she would make a great character for, and I think all the best stuff now is on TV anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think if it's done right, which I think the company we're talking to, I think will, they're a really great group, and I think, you know, I think the thing is with Tenacity, I think it needs to be kind of dark and a bit sinister, you know, for me anyway, and so something, you know. Something that people can really feel some tension and sort of really get on Dan's side, but yeah, I hope it happens, you know, and if so, I hope it goes over to the States as well, because it'd be really exciting to see that.
Oh, there are no more borders when it comes to that sort of thing.
No.
Well, thank you very much, James, for your time and for talking to Speaking of Mysteries, and I wish you the best of luck in the States with Tenacity, and I look forward to the next book.
No, thank you very, very much for having me. I really appreciated it. And I'll look out for it when it's released, and we'll go from there. But I hope to speak to you again, Nancy. Thank you very much.
In the next few weeks, I'll be talking to Joe Clifford about Lamentation, his remarkable crime fiction novel that explores the region where family, addiction, and small-town sensibilities intersect. And I'm looking forward to catching up with Mystery Writers of America Grandmaster Robert Craze to talk about his much-anticipated The Promise, where Elvis Cole and Joe Pike team up with suspects Scott James and former Marine turned LAPD patrol dog Maggie. Until then, this is Nancy Clare. Thank you again for listening to Speaking of Mysteries.